Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for January 15th.
Yes.
It's the middle of the month.
It is.
Time moves inexorably on to destroy us. Today we thought we would make fun of some things that we think are funny.
So you Christians don't make fun of things we think are funny. We rebuke them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, right.
Amen. So there's some fantastic cursing going on Facebook.
Not like the four-letter word type cursing, but actual
like
imprecatory curses.
Yeah, I call down the power of God to destroy you kind of cursing.
Yes, and you know, it's the kind of thing you expect to hear from the wild fringes of TBN viewership. Or so it's so weird and out there. But this is an Anglican worldwide. The name of the page is Anglican is Worldwide, and it's filled with Africans and mostly African Anglican ministers. But there's one particular guy who is quite prolific.
He loves these things.
Yes, yeah. In fact, he's told me I'm demon possessed because I went in and commented on one of these things. It was probably not an accurate prophecy. So here's one of them from a couple days ago. Every arrow of not getting helper is removed from your life now. Go and meet your destiny helper today, in Jesus' name. And
amen.
Amen. And that Jesus' name is on every, because the Jesus' name is like the talisman that you use to wedge God into giving you what you want. So
if you say his name, then he has to do it because he said he would.
Every confederation of the wicked against your life and family shall scatter in desolation this year, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then underneath you, in the comments, you have like, amen, 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 amen. So many comments coming in.
Okay, where's the one about the giving birth is really hard, but...
So Charlie Sutton, one of our friends, commented that he didn't make one of these... What on earth is a destiny helper?
Is that like Destiny's Child?
I don't know. I don't know what a destiny helper is. This is just crazy. And it's...
No, where's the one with the it's really hard to give birth, but...
Right, yes. Well, the one that really tipped the scales and actually is just horrible. Here's a new one for today. Today I ask God to give you a mega blessing, good success, amazing progress, sound health, and unstoppable victory in Jesus' name. At least it's a prayer, not a...
I want all that stuff.
Yeah, I do too.
This really
was a prayer. Most of them are phrased as, you know...
Statements.
Right. Decrees.
Declarations of what God will...
Where is the... No, I thought
they're all they're all like with the, they all look like memes. You know, they've got the background.
Here it is. No woman gives birth smiling. Whoever troubles you this year shall suffer endless anguish in Jesus' name. Amen.
What is the woman?
That's a curse. That's a curse.
Yeah.
And Jesus explicitly says,
don't do that.
Don't curse your enemies.
What is the woman? No woman gives birth smiling. What does that have to do with all of your enemies being destroyed?
I don't know. Maybe it's because someone who tried to
parse it out,
and it may be that you're birthing something new. Like, that's why you're in pain right now. And so whoever vows to trouble you this year shall suffer endless anguish. So you're birthing into a new era of your life, but your enemies are going to hell. Endless anguish. Endless anguish.
Endless.
Endless anguish. This guy is wanting someone
to forever
suffer in hell.
For crossing him.
I guess. I'm not sure what the... So several people got on and kind of corrected this one and said, you know, this is not...
It's not very nice.
Not what Jesus would want you to do. And I got into this argument with this guy, and he, in particular about the arrow prophecy, and he said I needed to go back to study because I don't know anything about what the Bible says about arrows. So I...
wait a minute. What does the Bible say about
arrows? It says a lot about arrows. Like arrow,
the arrow won't kill you by day.
Right, right. So obviously, if I did my exegesis correctly, I would know that there is a destiny helper out there who can help me avoid the arrow. Wait, the bad arrows? What was it?
The arrows that fly.
The bad arrows.
But you can probably also harness and shoot your own good arrows, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a possibility.
Because what's the use of just avoiding arrows if you're not shooting arrows yourself?
Catch them and throw them back at those who are afflicting you so they can suffer endless torment.
I mean, I really love this worldview because I'm tired. I worked really hard this weekend. And I don't think that I have any enemies per se right this minute, but I would like to blame somebody for something. Like there's got to be somebody to blame, and it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me.
Right.
It's going to be my enemies, because God wants me. That's so fantastic. Well, I really like to contrast this with the Stephen Furtick rap that was also available for viewing on Facebook.
Stephen Furtick is a pastor of a very large church. I think it's in North Carolina. And the owner of a very large home also in North Carolina.
Which the Babylon Bee is.
Right, right. There's he gets lost in his mansion trying to find his
way. Yeah, he can't find his way out of his mansion. So the video is from Elevation Church. And it's called I Will Be Confident. I'm just going to play a tiny clip. We won't play the whole thing.
You got to turn it up.
I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I keep coming. I step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done in this.
Okay, wait.
There's like several bits of heresy in that.
So the background, though, what's on the screen is a number of athletes. There's a ballet dancer. There's a surfer. There's a person lifting weights. And there's a person with a bicycle.
They're all very good looking people.
They're all at the height of physical perfection.
Just like us.
Like I myself am. And they're going to work really hard to work out and then perform in some way. Like at the end of the video, the ballet dancer is on stage twirling in her tutu. Yeah. And then,
just like you do.
Everything
I
have to about
stop you
this
from twirling your tutu because you're
video
so...
is relevant to me as I am at Andy, the height of my
stop
physical.
Twirling in your tutu.
The height of my physical perfection in my life.
And then the title of it is I Will Be Confident.
So the part that confuses me, because this looks like a video for Nike.
Right.
Is what on earth does God have to do with it?
Well, but notice the rap is about Stephen Furtick. It's not about, well, God's in there. Like, God's helping him. Like, he's...
It starts out with, he quotes a psalm at the beginning.
When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
In Jesus'
name.
No
war should rise against me. In this, I will be confident.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, I gotta stop. What psalm is that? Remind me. I'm not able to orient myself.
I don't know.
When my foes come upon me. And then there's going to be an arrow that flies by day.
I guess Psalm 90 or something.
Because when I read the Psalms, first of all, I am always working out this way. And I look amazing in yoga pants and tight clothes. I'm not lying on the floor.
Gasping.
First of all, I'm sorry, but what is this? Why
well,
is it about
point
working
is you
out?
You should be confident in everything you're doing because God is going to do it. Whatever you're doing, he's going to get behind. He's given you an assignment.
Oh, yeah, he did use the word assignment.
And a heavenly assignment. And that assignment apparently is completely consistent with whatever it is that you are doing at the moment. And, you know, you need to, he said it himself, I'm going to speak and believe it. I'm going to, whatever I say, you know, that's going to be the decree of my life. It's okay. Very little difference between that.
I'm good with that, actually. I'm good with I'm going to speak and decree, but the things that I'm speaking and decreeing are not that I have to become a ballet dancer. Like, where does the sports come in? That's the part that's confusing me. I got the heresy. But the sports, why is...
Because sports take discipline, and, you know, you got to have confidence. When you're a kid and you're in some sportsing thing,
when
your coach always says, you know, you got to visualize your victory, and, you know, you...
Really?
You have to go into a game confident that you're going to beat the other team. That's the idea. And so Stephen Furtick is saying, all right. I mean, no coach says, all right, guys...
I would love to be a coach.
You guys are really outmatched by the team you're going
against. I would love to be like a realistic coach.
Very little hope.
That's what I would.
Let's go out there anyway. And
I don't think this is going to work out. I would love to be in sports as myself and not as the proper.
A little halftime pep talk. Wow, you guys really got beat that last half.
Well,
I don't see how we could possibly pull this one out
because I saw the guys last night, the Saints, like they thought they were winning, and their coach must have told them, like, where was their confidence in Christ when that guy whipped in there and caught the ball and ran 60 miles.
Yeah, right.
I guess that's not miles.
Jesus wasn't, not miles, 60 yards.
So how did Jesus pick between the two teams?
Well, I guess who prays more faithfully, like who has the most faith when they pray?
So the Vikings.
He's kind of waiting. Did the Saints declare faith, or did the Vikings declare with more faith?
The Viking quarterback counted this as his top three. So
he said. Did you hear what he said? This is the third best moment of my life. The first was when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Yeah.
You want public figures to say that. It's good.
Yeah.
And then when I married my wife.
Yeah. But then, that this is right up there with marrying his wife.
Okay, we're about to disagree here because that was amazing. If you were in that game, I mean that did you see the thing? You saw, you were sitting there with me when it happened. Did you watch it?
I did. I saw it. I did see it.
That's historic. That doesn't happen.
I'm sorry. I'm not interested. What's historic about it?
It's historic that there were 10 seconds left.
Will there be a book written about this that I will later read? moment of sports,
actually, there probably will be a book written about that. This is that big. It's a huge thing.
I just feel like
the Vikings have been perennially beaten down over the years,
which is funny because of their name, the Vikings. When they're perennially beaten down,
sweetie, you don't have any idea what the importance of this last moment was. It was.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, I don't understand the sportsing video that has to do with Jesus. I don't understand the historical nature of this football game.
It is historic. This doesn't have 10 minutes left. Third down, 10 yards to go. They're out of timeouts. If they don't get the ball to the sidelines, then the game's over. They had been dominating the Saints the whole game. They were up. They were only down by 1 point, and they just needed to get the field goal range. And look how they're.
That's something else. That's the Guardian Spillion.
And then he throws a pass that probably. I mean, it was a great pass, but the defender could have probably tackled him in bounds if he'd not tried. It looks like he was trying to catch trying to make an interception of some sort. But, and then there's no one behind him. And he ran to the. I mean, that was. Did you see?
I mean, it was obviously organized by a divine force, like Jesus himself.
Exactly. That
came
was,
in and restrained the saints.
The destiny helper. The destiny helper came
in Jesus' name
and took away the arrows of
the other football
right
people. The people that play the football
exactly.
Thing.
So I think you need to be quiet. about the foot. We can use something else to describe deal. You know, we can do something else with Feast Before Take. And
okay, but if okay, I just want to know how many sermons right now are going to be preached.
Look at this! Look at this! Look at the crowd go like this. Watch, there it is. It's caught.
I know. I heard that, and then. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it several times last night.
Can you believe that? It's
and amazing. Then no. And then I was asleep in bed, and then you came up and you kept playing it really loud in my ear. I was dead asleep because of working, overcoming, conquering all the spiritual forces of darkness yesterday while I was at church by myself.
You weren't at church.
I was locked out of my Sunday school classroom. Yesterday, I ran. Where was in Jesus' name yesterday when I was desperately trying to break into the little kid classroom because the door was locked? And
sweetie, no one
there had, was no in Jesus' name,
but no one had,
Jesus was standing by watching me flail. I'm pretty sure
you got it open within 15 minutes of the
no,
class,
it was
right?
An hour and a half, and I didn't go do class. No, actually opened at 10. A very lovely person finally beat into it with a credit card, and stop watching the game. Stop watching that.
I just heard this story about the opening of the door of the Sunday school.
Where were you?
About five times. I was teaching.
Where
a class.
Was Jesus?
I was teaching my education class.
Where was the imprecatory Psalms? Who locked me out of my class? Did Satan come personally and lock me out of my classroom? It was terrible. It was so frustrating. So,
anyway,
how many sermons?
Totally off.
How many sermons are going to be preached about this football moment here?
Oh, there'll be a lot of sermons preached about this. This is going to be like.
Are we going to?
This
like,
is the illustration of illustrations.
Are
for
we going to?
Because now, like the moment you think all is lost, like Jesus is crucified, but in fact, he's just about to throw a touchdown pass. All of your hopes for going to the NFC. Playoff game, championship, were buried. They were
like
buried
Stephen
in a stone tomb.
Being
but then
stoned with stones. Wait,
but then
that
the
work,
quarterback steps
die.
Into up to the line of scrimmage and takes a snap.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah, and throws it up in the air. You know, and Jesus is both the quarterback and the receiver.
and Satan. Is the Saints? I mean, that feels wrong to me.
Well, right. So, or you know, the Stephen Furtick's message kind of dovetailed with this. You know, don't quit, right? You just, no matter how far behind you are, no matter how hopeless things are, don't quit. Like Jesus and like the Vikings.
Jesus and the Vikings.
I'm telling you, there are going to be sermon illustrations for decades.
I just want to know how come, like, this isn't working out for me. Because everybody seems to have this theology, and, well, I'd just like people to write in and say if this kind of in Jesus' name thing is working for them. Because...
Well, apparently, it's, you know, it's so popular in the poorest
so it must
regions
not be working
of the world.
It must not be working.
Well, I don't know. These guys seem pretty wealthy. The ones who are saying things, right?
Yeah, but okay,
they're at the top
but
of the pyramid scheme, so they're getting all the money.
If I'm really poor and I keep saying in Jesus' name,
well, you got to be a pastor for you got to be
okay.
Like,
you've got to have a bank account,
right?
And a PayPal and a GoFundMe, and right. Then in Jesus' name can work for you.
And set up, I would get a Facebook page, and start, you know, decreeing things, and then people will come in and say amen, and then decree whoever plants a seed or something. You're going to reap a 100-fold harvest. And then people say, amen. And you could then begin to build up confidence in your decreeing, and people could just give you money. That's how it works.
That's really terrible.
Teaching for shameful. Was it Chris Roseborough?
He says it every day.
Yeah. He's quoting. Of course, he's quoting scripture.
Yeah, he's quoting. Wait, where was that?
Teaching for shameful gain.
I think I heard that somewhere, but I don't know where.
Roseborough. That's what it was.
I love the thing with the Viking guy last night where he was weeping and, because they had sporting interview, you know, they're like, I sported really well, better than the other team who sports not as well. And this was the, but he was like, this is the greatest moment of my sportsing. This is the most special sportsing that has ever happened to me ever.
Yeah, sweetie, you, this game doesn't have, a game like that doesn't, they're, these men are probably going to die and not have another football game to match this one.
That is so depressing.
No, it was, it's, that was.
So this is the pinnacle of their lives. People in Minnesota
woke up this morning happy. You know, I was reading.
But you can only go down from there. You can only go down.
No, you get to,
from
no, because you can relive it. You can watch it on video. You can read the books that are going to come out about it.
Okay, so it's, I'd just like you to articulate how what kind of overcoming we actually get to have
in football or
in the realm of Christianity.
Yeah, what's funny about the Stephen Furtick video and you know. When we're in, we just finished Hebrews 11
yesterday. It only took 7 months.
Yeah.
To do Hebrews 11.
Well, because Hebrews 11 goes to the whole Bible.
This morning,
he starts with Abel and he ends with the prophets, right? So,
no, it was really good. You mashed through, like, from Judges to
the end of the Old Testament.
John the Baptist in one sermon. I was afraid for you, but you did really well.
Well, thank you.
I was afraid that it was going to go on for several hours.
I did count up the number, if we, because we think Hebrews is a sermon, and probably preached, I would say, but I don't, either, I'm taking the side of those who say that it was preached by Paul to a Jewish congregation, written by Luke, or you know, the notes were by Luke. So that's why the writing seems more like Luke than Paul. But I counted up the words, and it was 4,962 words. I didn't count them up. I looked it up. 4,962 words.
Sat there and counted the words.
I didn't count them myself personally, but and my sermons, which are about 40 minutes, are 2,500 words. So these people, if this really was a sermon, these people were sitting through a good hour and a half.
Well, and if it's notes, that means that he wrote down less words than were spoken.
Well,
because
I mean,
when you take notes. What do you mean by no?
I don't know. He could have
transcribed it word for word.
I don't know.
So, this was one of those sermons where the guy falls out of the window and dies because he's too hot and too tired.
It's good to be. But here, it's in Hebrews 11 where we preached in the second last yesterday when he says, "Well, time would fail for me to." Preach the remainder of the Bible. So I'm going to cut it short and just name a few names.
And then he names like 50 names.
Yeah, which is really helpful when you're trying to preach that text because then you have to decide, okay, do I want to go back and look up every single one of these names and talk about why they're in this list, or do I just kind of speed past them like he does? So I decided on the former.
You looked each of them up.
Yeah.
And decided why they were on the list.
But the reason we're here is because, look, the reason I'm brought up Hebrews is because Stephen Furtick is saying, you know, by faith, you're by confidence, I guess, you can overcome anything because God's behind you. But, you know, in Hebrews, we're told, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire.
In Jesus' name.
Escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. If it stopped there, that would be totally like a Stephen Furtick moment. But then women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world is not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So that's you can't make a video on that. I mean, you can't get the ballerina twirling to the sawn in two line. I'll be confident. I will be confident that I'm going to be sawn in two one day.
It doesn't make a good rap.
No, it doesn't.
It makes a really great film, though. Like for the Cannes Film Festival, that would be awesome with morbid music, and then or French. It's a French film.
It is a French film. Everyone dies in the end.
Everyone dies. Amen. Well, I mean, I appreciate that Christianity is a total drag, because you don't get anything that you want. And life is really short and sad.
You do get what you want.
You get heaven. And you get to be with the Lord.
Yes. And that's going to be a big thing one day.
Yeah.
And right now, it might seem like
Far away. And I feel sad, though, for all the people who are going to church and then discover that really what they get when they die is just more time with Jesus.
I think that's going to be
really... No, I know. I think it's great. But if you've spent your entire life not expecting, like, expecting mansions and... Well, I mean, I suppose there's mansions. But really what you get is more time with God, not more time twirling on the ballerina stage and like catching the arrows of your enemies. Like,
right,
eternity, you get more time with God,
right?
And
but see, I expect that by that time their sin will have been,
so they'll want it.
Yes, their desires will be formed.
But part of the earthly life is actually spending time trying to want the thing that's offered, and if you spend no time wanting it whatsoever, I do think you might struggle and be sad more than the person who actually really devotes themselves to desiring the thing that God is actually has on offer himself. So you're Stephen Furtick. You make it into heaven by the skin of your teeth. And there's like the old lady who's devoted her life to studying the scripture and praying, and she loves Jesus and she's so happy. And there you are, you're Stephen Furtick, you got your massive muscles, and you're like, you've left your mansion on earth. And you're like, oh man, really? Eternity with Jesus?
I don't think that's going to happen, sweetie, because if
Stephen Furtick... Wait, you don't think he's going to go to heaven?
No, if he does go to heaven, he's going to have... His heart will be changed, right? Because there's no sin there, so he's going to really like being with Jesus. That's going
to
be a...
Yeah, but he might be surprised just for a few minutes. I'm just saying, Stephen Furtick surprised to find himself in heaven.
I don't want to question or call into question his Christianity. Or
well,
his...
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea if he's actually...
He's a false teacher.
Nothing about this video is really Christian.
No, it's the gospel Christian. Is not, I will be confident.
Yeah, I mean, he's not leading anyone to Jesus, so...
Well, and if you listen to his preaching, there's a lot of false... teaching involved, narcissus, as Chris Roseborough says, he's reading himself into every text that he can. You know, you're David against Goliath.
I guess so, but so many texts, like, that's not a fun thing to do. Which part of Jeremiah do you read yourself into?
Well, you got to avoid Jeremiah. You just take it away. You don't, read it.
Or the part in Isaiah where the women of... Is it Isaiah? I've actually no idea what I'm talking about, but the cows of Bashan are mincing along with their bells on their feet. Like, who are those people?
Well, those are the other people.
Those are other people. Those your enemies. The enemies. The rich, rich, rich enemies. So, yes, I thought a little early morning heresy.
Yeah,
it would be a great way to start out the week.
Yes.
Do you have any other ones that you wanted to? You spend a lot of time looking at these.
It makes me angry. These are Anglicans. He says, it's not. These are not people who are, in the Vineyard movement or, again, in the far wild ranges of Pentecostalism. These are ordained Anglican ministers.
So I found a quote from myself by reading my old blogs. Well, Facebook reminded me that I had blogged, and I'd just like to quote myself here. I thought it was particularly brilliant about the Anglican Communion.
All right.
And what is the Anglican Communion? I wrote, well, you might think of it as a vibrant global movement of Christianity in the Anglican flavor, or a spiritually dilapidated, irrelevant grouping of people who can't remember why they came into the church building depending on where you are standing. I should update it, though, because
when did you write that?
2016.
What were you thinking about when you wrote it?
The upcoming primates meeting.
Because I think if you were to go to the churches where people are saying things like, pregnancy is always hard, but you're going to be in endless anguish, I bet we'd see a lot of vibrancy.
That's true.
I bet we'd see a lot of...
And I think Anglican flavor was more prescient than I meant at the time. Because there's flavor, maybe a whiff of Anglicanism, but it's not really like historically Anglican.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a ice cream cone that's melting onto the floor. Yeah, well.
I'm trying to find more of these. I can't find them anyway.
Oh.
We shouldn't. No, go
ahead. Yeah, we should move on with our week. Because that was the subject that we had for today.
And we know that I could go on and on.
Yeah, you could read them all.
I could.
But you should send me, your three favorites, and I'll link them on my blog today.
Okay.
Along with the video.
All right.
And then all of our listener can click through.
No, we have two now. We can actually use the plural.
Listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plural.
Right. Well, you don't want to say anything about what future might lie in store. Future might have in store for you, broadcasting wise. You know.
I think I can. Okay. On the last Wednesday of every month, I get to have 15 minutes. I get to have 15 minutes on the ride home with John and Kathy, and they told me that I could talk about whatever I want. I can chat with them, or I can do a monologue, which, of course, I'm sure I probably could do that. I don't know how I would do that, but actually...
Oh, no, I think you could do it.
I probably could do it. So...
Just pretend we're on a date night.
And then just begin to talk.
Just start talking.
Don't breathe. So the... it'll be the last Wednesday of every month. And I can't remember the time exactly, like 4 something. I'll just be a regular
slot. Try to mention our podcast, because every time you're on that show, you never mention our podcast.
I'm so busy just enjoying the company of John and Kathy that I don't even think of myself. Actually, no, they're so funny and quick-paced that I have to rise to the occasion. And they are. They're the funniest people on radio.
Well, I don't think anyone knows that we even have a podcast because you never mention it.
I never mention it.
Right. So
you're right. Okay. I'll begin with that. Maybe right. I'll just, the first one could just be me talking about my podcast.
That'd be so interesting.
People for 15 minutes. So, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll try to mention it if I can. But, we'll be back here next week anyway.
Yeah.
Worrying about the date. So until then, enjoy your sport thing and your cursing of your enemies.
And I ask God to give you a mega blessing, good success, amazing progress, sound health, and unstoppable victory in Jesus' name.
Oh my God. All right. Bye.